You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Today we are closing our series, Amazing Grace. And if you missed out the start of this series, this is basically for us to know more or to have a deeper understanding and appreciation of what the grace of God is. And we've been looking at the different aspects of God's grace. When we talk about grace, it's basically an unmerited favor of God towards mankind. When we say unmerited favor, it's a favor that was not deserved by someone. Someone didn't earn it, deserved the right to have that favor. So when we talk about grace, it's God's free gift, undeserved merit towards us. And as I said earlier, over the past few weeks, we looked at how this unmerited favor was given to us. Maybe through the justification, declaring us that we are righteous by what Jesus did for us. We talked about the sufficient grace, that there is God's favor to us whenever we go through difficult times, that there is this grace that He gives to us that we can endure. And last week, we talked about enriching grace, that God's grace is there, that He provides for us. And this week, we'll talk about inviting grace. When you hear the word inviting, you might think of invitations, whether it be through a wedding invitation, a certain party, or since hapit na pauman ang SEM, graduation party or something like that. Now, when you receive invitations, for many of us, or perhaps for all of us, we feel appreciated, don't we? We feel loved, valued, whenever we get invited to something, especially if we feel like, di tama invite. Invitations make us feel valued. On the flip side naman, when we don't get invited, if there's a party, you didn't get an invitation, or nagtapok-tapok imong friends, you check in social media and you wonder, ano man ako na-invite, ana? It makes you feel unsettled. You feel unappreciated, like it makes you question your friendship or something with a person. We often react negatively towards it. There's a third reaction that we have when it comes to invitations, and that is, even when we are invited, sometimes we don't want to go or accept the invitation. Either we feel hassled or apathetic towards it. I don't want to go there. It's a waste of time, or it's difficult to go there. Or we feel unworthy to go and accept the invitation. Have you ever heard people say, or yourself saying, I don't want to go there. Maikog man ko. Maulaw ko. I feel ashamed, or I don't feel like I'm worthy to go there. I don't know anyone there. I don't know how to go there. Wala ko'y gift. Maulaw ko mo sa party or something. Oftentimes, we have those reactions when we have invitations. In the same way, when it comes to relating towards God, we talk about His inviting grace. His grace is there that invites us into His presence. But oftentimes, there are things that hinders us from approaching Him, from being in His presence. And oftentimes, that problem is we feel unworthy to be in the presence of God. Parang, Lord, I can't be there. I don't want to go there near You. We feel a need to earn our way into the presence of God to make us feel worthy, because we feel like we're not worthy. Now, truth of the matter is, there is some accuracy in that, and that is, no one is worthy in of themselves to be in the presence of God. On our own, we cannot say, Lord, I should be in Your presence because I did this, I did that, I did so many good things. No one can say that. If you go through the Bible, in Exodus 33, verse 20, this is Moses, the guy who was tasked to rescue the Israelites, who did the 10 plagues and all that. This Moses was asking to meet God face to face. But God said to him, you cannot see My face, for a man shall not see Me and live. And while My glory pass by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with My hand until I pass by. So God told Moses, Moses, you can't see Me face to face. You're gonna die. I'm too glorious, too holy, perfect. You're a sinner. You're a human being. So what God did was that He would cover Moses' eyes until he passed by. And makita na ni Moses was basically ang likod ni God lang. And even then, even if kana lang makita ni Moses, even though that was the only thing Moses saw, when he came down from that mountain, Sinai, when he was with the people said that his face was so glorious. Not because Moses did something to his face, but simply because he was in the presence of God. In verse 5 of Isaiah 6 as well, Isaiah the prophet said, when he was in the presence of God, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. This is a prophet we're talking about here today. This is a guy who is, I guess, more righteous, more holy than many of us. If we're talking about just good deeds lang sa person. But even he knows that he is a sinful person before the presence of God. Sabi niya, woe to me. I'm a man of unclean lips. But he knows how much of a sinner he truly is. And not just that. In the tabernacle and in the temple, there is this place we call the Holy of Holies. This is a certain place in the temple where not anybody could just go in because the presence of God is there, the Ark of the Covenant is there, and there is this thick curtain or veil that prohibits anyone from just going in. This curtain or veil is about 60 feet wide, 30 feet wide, about an inch thick or something like that. And it took about 300 priests to install it. This isn't the curtain you have at home. Now you can just move around. Cutting a curtain, taas, it's high, it's wide, and it's thick. You can't just tear it apart. And this curtain pretty much displays this gap, shows this no access towards God. Not everyone could be there in the presence of God. But that was then. The good news for us here today, church, is that that all changed when Christ came into the picture. Because of Jesus, we have been given this access, this all access, to be in the presence of God. Even if we feel unworthy to be in the presence of God, as we will go through this topic, we will learn that it's not about us trying to make ourselves worthy to be in God's presence. Now, how did that happen? What did Jesus do to give us this access to God? That's what we'll find out in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. It says there in verse 12 of Hebrews 4, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Verse 14, "Then we have a high great priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help him in time of need." Now, a bit of background in the book of Hebrews. Now, the book of Hebrews was not written by Paul, though some believe it was. But regardless, here's an interesting description about the book of Hebrews. And I want to read this. It's a quote from Dr. Walter Martin. He says, "The book of Hebrews was written by a Hebrew to other Hebrews, telling them to stop acting like Hebrews." The context of this letter, rather, is that whoever wrote this was writing to probably some Jewish Christians, meaning Christians of Jewish background, meaning they were experiencing persecution, gina ostracized, gina kick out sa community nila. And because of that intense persecution, some of them were slipping back towards their old ways, towards the Jewish system. But because they were Christians now, this author was reminding them, hey, stop acting like what you were before. This book was written to take all the significant themes and storylines of the Old Testament and show how they ultimately find their fulfillment in Jesus. This letter basically elevates who Jesus is and tells them, don't give up Jesus for anything else. He is far greater than anything else that ginabuhat ninyo in your old life or something like that. This is why the book of Hebrews is important. Now, for our topic today, we will go through answering two important questions here this morning. What did Jesus do to give us access to God, that we can be in His presence? Why is it that He has this inviting grace towards us? And next, how does this inviting grace transform our lives? Okay, may access ako ni God, but so what? Why is this important? How does this affect me, specifically our devotional life? I'm going to go straight to the last verse of this passage because it is basically the heart of what we're going to talk about here today. It says here, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace," or basically God's presence. In the New Living Translation, it says here, "Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Then we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." It says here, let us come boldly, approach the throne of grace with confidence. Now, that's pretty interesting because both those translations, ang description nila when it comes to being in the presence of God or going into the presence of God is with confidence, with boldness. Do you see someone walking in boldness and confidence? Parang naka chest out, head held up high, confidently walking. It's like the confidence you have when you go home and open your house. Diba, you're confidently opening your house. Compare that to when you're going to a friend's house or someone else's house you might not be really close to. Diba? Somehow you get sort of shy going there. Say, mutuktok ka. Ayo. You're anxious to enter. You're not confident in entering. But if it's your place, with all confidence, you open the door, you open the key. Sometimes if wala kay Kim, knock-knock ka, ma, paki-abre ma. You say something like that with confidence. And interestingly, this is a description given to us when it talks about approaching the throne of grace ni God. Now, why is it not dealing with trembling, with fear? If you remember, I was talking a while ago that in the Old Testament, not everyone could just be in the presence of God. Isaiah was afraid. Moses couldn't meet God face to face. And there is one instance in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that someone touched the Ark of the Covenant because it was about to fall. And because he touched that, God struck him. Because the Ark of the Covenant is holy, not everyone could just touch it. And it gives you a picture that before, not everyone could be in this presence ni God. But why is it here? It's telling us to be bold, to be confident in drawing into His presence. One thing that gives us a clue is these three words that here, let us then. Concluding statement in verse 16, we can approach with confidence God's presence or God's throne of grace because of something previously mentioned and in a passage. And that is verse 15. It says here, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So, an important question here is, what is a high priest? That because of this verse right here, we can draw confidently or be confidently in the presence of God. Unsa ning high priest ba? Now, in the Old Testament, or even in the New Testament, a high priest is this special position. He's a religious leader in the Jewish people. He had special duties to fulfill. Before the temple was made, the Solomon and holy place, where many priests would be there to perform certain tasks that God required them to do. But after that, where the Ark of the Covenant is, behind that curtain or veil I told you about, only the high priest could enter into that place. It's called the Holy of Holies, the innermost part of the tabernacle or the temple. Only the high priest could enter it. And once a year, one of his most important duties was that he would offer a sacrifice for the people and on behalf of himself. Basically, it's a sacrifice of atonement. It was for the Day of Atonement so that people would receive forgiveness for their sins. The high priest, he needed to do certain things. He needed to make sure he confessed every sin. Kinahan walay physical defect. A high priest kinahan ritually clean and pure as well. In fact, every time he would enter the Holy of Holies, this high priest would have a rope attached to his leg and a bell. Why? Because if he did not properly prepare himself to enter the Holy of Holies, if he had certain sins or not ritually pure, or he failed that some way, then he might die or he could possibly die inside the Holy of Holies. Because God is holy. And sin cannot be in the presence of God or it cannot go with God. And because of that, if the high priest died, he had to pull out the high priest from the veil. Di masalap po din musulod. Kasi sila musulod sa mga matay sila tanan dito. Mag-pile up ang dead bodies dito. So they need to pull this guy out. So imagine, that's the high priest. He had an important task to offer a sacrifice of atonement for the people so that they would receive forgiveness. Now it says here in verse 14 that this high priest that the book of Hebrews is talking about is one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, meaning he can relate to us. But it says here that he is yet without sin. This high priest is a special kind of high priest. And is none other than Jesus, of course. Because who else was tempted and yet did not sin? That is Jesus. He lived the life that we all can relate to. Right? He was born, he grew up, he suffered, he experienced pain and all these things. But he did not sin. Hebrews 12, okay, verse 14 even says, since we have a great high priest, Jesus is not just a high priest. He is a great high priest who passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So again, this talks about Jesus as our great high priest. And this is good news for us in two ways. Firstly, he is like us. Meaning this great high priest that we have, as I mentioned earlier, is like us, he's truly human, and he knows exactly what our weaknesses are like. He experienced them. Every time you feel like grumbling before God, Lord, is what I felt, is what I experienced today. This happened, that happened, and we feel like, Lord, you can't understand me. I experienced pain, suffering, all that. Guess what? Jesus experienced pain and suffering as well. He experienced what it means to be rejected. Rejected at his hometown. He was rejected by people. When he was about to be crucified, he was spat out. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. And he experienced what it means to be tempted. Remember when he was in the wilderness? The devil tried to tempt him. Here's another great thing. He is also not like us in a sense that Jesus did not sin. He is 100% man, but he's also 100% God. He is not like us. And yes, he identifies with our weaknesses, but he was able to overcome them. And that is a good news in of itself. Hebrews 7, verse 26-27 says here, "For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens." This pertaining to Jesus once again. Verse 27, "He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people." So he doesn't need to repeatedly offer a sacrifice. But it says here, "Since he did this once for all when he offered up himself." Interestingly, this great high priest offered up one sacrifice for all the sacrifices. And it wasn't a sacrifice of goat, sheep, or a cow. He offered up himself once and for all to be that sacrifice of all sacrifices. So to answer our first question, what did Jesus do to give us access to God that we could confidently or with boldness draw or be in his presence? God became man in Jesus Christ and paid for the sins of men. There was a cost to this access that we get to enjoy, that we get to have. This inviting grace that God is giving out to us freely. There was a cost. And that is Jesus. He paid the price for this. In Hebrews 9 verse 12 says here, "He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." This is talking about the cross, church. Jesus came into this world, grew up, lived the life we should have lived, and died on a cross in our place. Through his blood, through his body, he secured redemption for us all. This is why we can confidently be in God's presence. Someone paid the cost and the price for it. Matthew 27, verse 50-51 even says, and this is talking about the result after that. On the day Jesus died, says here, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." He died. And verse 51 says here, "And behold, the curtain of the temple," remember that curtain I was talking a while ago, "was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split." This curtain, an inch thick, over 30 feet high, over 30 feet wide, katumbaga a curtain or veil, was torn in two. Not everyone could just tear this. Can you tear something 1 inch thick, 30 feet long, with your bare hands and all? And it says, sir, it was from top to bottom. It's 30 feet high. Grabe ka hassle if someone were to do this by himself. Magkuha pa siya ladder, magkuha dito, ihiwa niya dito from top to bottom. This is something that only God could do. That veil was torn. And why is this important? Because it signifies that now there is no gap or distance or division between us and being in the presence of God. That now God's presence is accessible. Hebrews 10 verse 19-20 says here, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh." Through Jesus' sacrifice, his blood and his body, we can go through, pass through that curtain and be in the presence of God. Do you imagine how privileged we are? What an amazing privilege it is that God is extending this inviting grace to us, that we can be in his presence. In the Old Testament, even parts of the New Testament, not everyone could enjoy that presence of God. Only the high priest could be in that Holy of Holies. But now, wherever you go, may it be in your bedrooms, your workplace, your classroom, some other country, you get that access to God. You can be in the presence of God. We can confidently draw near to God's throne of grace because Jesus has given us access to it. That's amazing right there. That meaning it's not because you have to do certain things. You don't need to prove yourself to earn your way into the presence of God. Much like if you need to go to a concert, an event, you need to pay for a ticket so you can go there or get that all-access card. Someone paid the cost for you to give you that all-access pass. So you can be in God's presence. And that was Jesus. Not you, not your friend, not your family. Jesus. By his sacrifice on the cross, he gave us access. Another thing we're going to answer here today, we talked about what Jesus did for us. That we get to experience this inviting grace ni God, and that is His sacrifice on the cross. But next, how does this inviting grace transform our lives? Okay, Tom, I have this access to God, but why would I choose to be there? Why would I want to be in the presence of God? When so what? How does this affect me? How will this transform my life? How does this benefit me? Well, it will affect us in so many different ways. I'm going to just share a few of them here this morning. Firstly, it transforms us from entitlement. Entitlement basically means you feel superior or you feel like you deserve something. When we talk about entitlement, it means that you have a low view of your sin. You feel like you are deserving. You have that access towards God, or Lord, I deserve your blessing, your grace in my life because I did this, I did that. That's what entitlement means. But this inviting grace of God tells us that it's not about what we do. We don't deserve to be in the presence of God in the first place. It's something that God did for us. All the glory belongs to God. All the credit belongs to God because He came into this world as Jesus. Second, it transforms us from apathy. When we mean apathy, it means you're reluctant, you have this disinterest for something. And oftentimes, we're apathetic towards our devotion to God. When it comes to praying to God, being in His presence, seeking Him, sometimes we get apathetic towards it. Sometimes we get so caught up with the daily routine, with our work, with our studies. I'm not saying those are bad things on work and studies. Those are good things. But sometimes, because of the busyness of life, we feel apathetic towards praying to God. We sometimes heard prayer na lang. I'm guilty of that as well. Sometimes we say, Lord, thank you. Good morning. Lord, bless me today. Amen. Sometimes we just remember to pray to God na whenever we eat. One sure way nga makapray ka is kung magkaon na ka. And sometimes that's all our prayers for the day are, Lord, bless the food. Sometimes we feel, Lord, kahapon man magpray, or we have this disinterest towards being His presence. But this inviting grace of God reminds us of the cost of the privilege to be in His presence. That it shouldn't be taken for granted. Sometimes when something spectacular becomes regular, routine, it becomes over-familiar to us or mundane for us. But may this remind us that this access to God should not be taken for granted. That is such a privilege to enjoy and dwell in His presence. Thirdly, autonomy. What do I mean by autonomy? Sometimes we don't want to seek God, we don't want to be in His presence or pray to Him or worship Him because we want to rely on our own selves. Kaya na ako ni Lord, I can do this, I can fix this, and solve this problem. Or sometimes we don't want to be in His presence because we don't want to subscribe or submit to His Lordship. Lord, I want to do things my way. But this inviting grace reminds us that we need a Savior. We need God. We need to be in His presence. But last but not the least, timidity. What do you mean by that? Oftentimes, what hinders us the most from approaching the presence of God is that we are caught up or we are filled with guilt and shame that we are unable to be in the presence of God. For some people, parang, no way, I can't be in the presence of God. I did this. I did that. This is my past before, or this is what I recently did. But if you allow shame to determine how much God desires you in His presence, you'll never approach Him consistently, let alone with confidence. This inviting grace reminds us something important, church, that it's not about you. It's not about what you can do to earn your way in the presence of God. It's about what Jesus did for you. The amazing thing about this inviting grace is that amidst our sin, our issues, our flaws, our imperfections, God extends this grace, this invitation to us still. Despite our sins, our struggles, our imperfections, God is like, here's my hand, take it. It's not, wait, magpaka-perfect ka muna. My son, do something good. You need to earn this invitation. You need to earn your way here. Do something good. No. God sees through who we are. In fact, in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 4, says here, for the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Verse 13, and no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him whom we must give account. In other words, the reason why we can approach God as well amidst our problems, our guilt and shame is because He sees through us. He knows our concerns, our problems, our issues. He knows who we truly are. There's no hiding with Him. There's no covering up our shame and our guilt. Kitang-kita niya. And because kitang-kita niya, in the first place, we can be there in His presence because He knows who we truly are. Sister, the Word of God is living and active, and no creature is hidden from His sight. All are naked, all are exposed before Him. And even though He sees through who we truly are, even the parts we don't want to look at in our own selves, yet His grace is there extended, inviting you into His presence. As I end this, I want to share this one parable from the Bible. As I was preparing for this, I was reminded of this parable from the Bible. It's the parable of the prodigal son. If you're unfamiliar with this parable, or for many of us, we know this from, it's one of the more famous Bible stories. The parable of the prodigal son basically talks about a story of this young man who left his home to live his own way. And the way he left was in a very disrespectful way towards his father. He says, "Give me my inheritance." And in Jewish culture, to ask for inheritance from your father while he is still alive, it's like to tell your father, "Dad, I can't wait for you to die. Just give me my inheritance right now." And in a culture that deeply respects the father, that was really disrespectful. So this guy goes on his own, tries to live his own life, spends all that he has, but experiences famine, lost all that he had, became someone who works to feed pigs and experience hunger, pain, and suffering until one day, he decides to go back to his family. But he knows of what he did, so his plan was, "May my father take me as a servant. Not as a son, but as a servant. Because there's no way I can be there in my family and in this presence once again. I did something terrible." So this son walked back to his family. But the verse says that while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and the father ran towards him, hugged him, kissed him, and welcomed him home. And that was before he even apologized to his father. And even after he apologized, he said, "My father, I'm sorry I did something wrong. Take me as a servant right now." His father did three amazing things. He gave him the best robe, he gave him a ring, and he gave him a pair of sandals. Those three things are important. Firstly, the best robe, because the best robe in the house at that time belongs to the father. So the father is giving his own robe towards his son, who, you remember, disrespected him and rejected him. He also gave him a ring. A ring at this time, di lang pang fashion ang ring, di lang bling bling ang ring. A ring at this time was used as a symbol of authority as well. It's important to have a ring with you. But not just that, he also gave him a pair of sandals on his feet. Now, right now, we all have footwear, and that seems to be not special for us. But in that time, in that place, not everyone had footwear. In fact, a lot of the servants didn't wear sandals or slippers. To wear sandals means that you are part of the family. What the father basically did in those three things, what he reinstated the status of the son. And yet the son didn't do anything to earn his way back into that status. He didn't work for his father yet. He didn't do anything yet to earn his way there. He deserved it. He just went there. And the father reinstated him. In the same way with us, when we talk about being in the presence of God, I want to remind us, church, grabining gibot ni God sa tuwa. We didn't deserve our way to be in the presence of God. We didn't earn our way there. And yet, He welcomes us. His hand is extended. There's this invitation outstretched to you to be in His presence, to enjoy His presence, to receive His rest. Whether you're a believer for the longest time, and you've been relying on your work somewhat, you've forgotten somewhat what it means to rely on God, to dwell in His presence, to enjoy His rest. Or perhaps you're not a believer yet. You've just been invited to the church. It's your first time hearing about Jesus. Guess what? His inviting grace is outstretched and extended towards you right now. Saying, "Here, take my grace. Receive it. Be in my presence. Come here." Verse 16 says that we can approach with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. to sum up basically what we've gone through or talked through these past few minutes, the inviting grace of God gives us access to His presence so that we can boldly approach Him. Not just that, it transforms us. It transforms our devotional life as well. It reminds us, man, grabbing a privilege thing ibot ni God sa toa. But not just that, this inviting grace reminds us that help, grace, mercy is given to us when we approach God, when we seek God. But oftentimes, God becomes our last resort. Or oftentimes, we forget about seeking God. You know, we just rely on our own efforts. But here, we're reminded that we can receive mercy and grace in times of need. For some of us here today, you may be experiencing a time of need. You need wisdom from God. You need grace for a specific area in your life. You need mercy, strength, encouragement, healing, provision, or you need something from God. You're desperate. Or even if everything is okay, you just want to be in the presence of God. Guess what? All of these things you can find. You can tap on and receive when you dwell, when you seek and approach the throne of grace to God. God's grace is inviting us and enabling us to approach His throne with confidence. So let's not pass up the port of opportunity, church. Let's not pass up the privilege to draw in, to approach His throne with confidence.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.